All right, you're on the Arms Room Show with Glenn.
And Drew.
Yeah, a little slow on the take there, but thanks to all the patrons for supporting the show. We greatly appreciate you keeping the show going and also allowing us to do various different community service projects, such as Stop the Bleed classes, safety and security training for schools and churches. I really appreciate your guys' contribution to your communities. If you're not a patron, please do so. It would really help us to be able to expand into what we can do for our communities. If you're an alumni of Independence Training, remember the alumni group events coming up. October 19th, that's next week, is going to be the meet and greet at Dad's. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, is that next week? Let me hold on. I'm sorry. Luke. Yes, yes. Next week. Next week.
Is it the
17th? It is next week, yeah. Okay. October, I have to look at my fucking calendar. No, it is the next week. Meet and greet at Dad's Eatery in Scottsdale, 6 to 9.
On the 12th? That's your birthday.
No, no, no. We're doing it on the 19th.
19th.
I just said that.
Well, that's 2 weeks.
Whatever. The run starts at 6 for anyone who wants to run, walk, jog, or otherwise shuffle with us. 2 mile loop, 3.5 mile loop, 4.5 mile loop, whatever you want to do. It starts at 6. Social hour starts at 7. We're going to go from 7 to 9. Just hanging out, shooting the bull, and getting to know like-minded people better. Meet in person, especially those of you guys who just lurk around in the alumni group Facebook page and don't actually meet each other face-to-face. Maybe you haven't had a chance to train with someone. You want a chance to meet up with them. This is a great time to do it. October 19th, Dad's Eatery in Scottsdale, 6 to 9. November the 10th, we're doing video scenarios with the TI system with our friend Bob Schneider right here at the office in Tempe. That's going to be 6 to 8 p.m. It's $40. Everybody from any alumni class or any class, I mean, makes you an alumni, so you're welcome to, you know, attend regardless of what class you graduated with us. And it's just going to be use of force and de-escalations type scenarios. And Bob will be there as a very seasoned and very experienced retired officer out of Denver with just a wide variety of assignments and skill sets that he's developed over the years. He'll be there. Some of our instructors will be here as well, kind of giving you guys some feedback on how you did going through scenarios that involve just kind of the – without having to do the force-on-force element, but just – involve the cognitive load. So great opportunity to come here and do that, you know, if you've got the time. November 10th, 6 to 8 at the schoolhouse in Tempe. All right. Quick little email I want to read to you guys from one of our listeners. I've been going back and forth talking with him about some various things. And I'm not going to use his name or anything, protect his secret identity. But I want to read this to you guys, okay? The biggest thing that you ever said that stung was about physical shape, fitness, and being overweight. It stung because I've been embarrassed about my weight for years now. But what's good is being sensitive and embarrassed motivated me. About a month ago, I changed up my diet and added a little more fitness. I'm 5'9", and I was 221. I'm now down 14 pounds in only 29 days. I have better energy, sleeping better, more mental clarity, better patience with our kids, and my dependence on caffeine is lower. I can't tell you the kind of impact that getting those kind of messages has on us. It's incredibly important for us to hear about how if we say something or put some information out there and someone follows through with it and sees a positive result. It's literally as impactful as, you know, when I get that text message or phone call saying, hey, man, something you taught me kept me alive, which I just got one 2 weeks ago from one of our students actually local here. It positively impacting people's lives is why we do the show to begin with. So I'm going to keep going. It's a great, great message. I think you should keep making fun of people who are overweight. It's the number one killer in America. Maybe you'll get more to take control of themselves and live their own lives. All I could think about last week during the How Many Mags episode was, can half the people asking this question run a mile in 10 to 11 minutes? Focus on improving yourself with your gear. If you can't run a mile in shorts and a t-shirt, maybe worry about the battle belt later and invest in yourself first. What good is all that if you're going to have a heart attack just trying to train with it? Moral is to all of your listeners, fuck being sensitive and a pussy about being offended. Figure out why it stings and do something about it, or shut the hell up, not just for my scenario, but anything that you can get offended over. figure why and reflect if it's you that's the issue. I just want to share that message with you guys. I spend a lot of time during the week, you know, talking with listeners, talking with students. I have everything from basic surface level conversations to, you know, deep personal conversations with people about life. And life's fucking hard, man. And you need good people in your life, sometimes calling you out on your bullshit. So if you are part of the alumni group, please come to the alumni events. Please come meet other like-minded people. I know you got to. I know you have something else to do on October 19th. I don't fucking care. I don't fucking care what you have to do. I know you got something going on November 10th. I don't really fucking care about that either. Come meet other like-minded people. Take a look around. What do you think's going on right now? Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you need to know all the like-minded people that you can. You know where your people are at and who they are. It's important. New first-person shooter video game Overwatch 2 is going to require a real cell phone number to play and will record all voice chats in-game. Blizzard will now be requiring, who's the maker of the Overwatch 2 game, will be requiring a real cell phone, not a prepaid phone, not a voice-over internet phone, nothing like that. It's going to have to be a real cell phone. They say this is to help curb toxic behavior in the game so that people who get banned could otherwise make a new account on a new VoIP number if they have the opportunity, but they're not going to be able to do that if they have to have a real cell phone. To further curb bad behavior, Blizzard's going to be recording all in-game audio. Now, Privacy Mike sent me this one, and so he sent me Privacy Mike's tips on this, and of course, I want to read those to you. It's always been possible for video games to listen on your audio of your in-game chats. What? Let me fucking read that one again. It's always been possible for video games to listen on your audio of your in-game chats.
Well, I mean, people can record, and any person can record any of the chats.
Imagine
on there.
The shit people fucking say.
Yeah.
Only difference is now Blizzard is telling us they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of using the built-in chat, have your friends do an encrypted group voice call over Signal. Now, back in the day, and I've never been much of an online gamer, but many years ago when the internet and online gaming was relatively new, and I'll date myself a little here by saying we're talking, this is like late 90s, you know what I mean? And I was finishing up high school and still playing like I used to play this Delta Force 2 game. And we would never use the in-game chats. It didn't make sense back then. That was 20-something fucking years ago, plus 20-plus, 25 years. It's really painful to say that, but it was a really long fucking time ago, all right? And even back then, we were like, nah, dude, we should totally use a fucking third-party app. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, it's just us, and it's just us who are talking to each other. So, I mean, I'm with Privacy Mike, obviously, here. You just do an encrypted voice phone call over Signal. It's easy. It's a free fucking app. Get it. Do that. Regarding phone requirements, if a game developer, any business you deal with, is requiring something that's a privacy risk to you and you can't find a way around it, you got to vote with your wallet and don't support that business.
Yeah.
Don't just be like, well, I really want to do this, so I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, just this one time. And then that's going to be next time, the next time, the next time, the next thing you know. Yeah, you're fucked. Back during COVID, private property owners had the right to require people to wear masks. If enough people said no, the business would be forced to shut down or change their mask policies. Do the same for invasions of privacy. And this is something that in Privacy Mike's class that he just taught for our alumni group, he really hammered this. He hammered it very hard on several topics. If you stop letting them fuck with your privacy – and enough people actually did it and had a little bit of what people think, well, that's inconvenient. Listen, motherfuckers, there was once upon a time we didn't have any of this shit.
Yeah.
And we were happy and stuff. Dude, just don't do it. Just don't do the thing. And then tell your friend, well, I'm going to do it. Don't fucking do it. Convince your people to not do it. Blizzard Games claims giving them your cell phone number will better secure your account. Never use your actual cell phone number for two-factor authentication purposes. Authentication, excuse me. There's an attack called simjacking where a hacker pretends to be you and tricks the phone company to transfer your phone number to their SIM card. Now they can reset any online accounts tied to that number. It's much harder to steal a Google Voice number, so use that as a two-factor when required. Point being here is don't forget about your privacy, guys. All right, if you're a video gamer, watch out for this kind of, hey, you have to have a real cell phone number and you have to be able to prove it to us. That's really not a good idea. Another victim of woke culture, the Dilbert cartoon, first published in 1989, now being canceled.
Seriously?
By the majority of newspapers. Over 70 newspapers are now canceling because he's voicing his stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's saying he doesn't believe in, you know, all this crazy shit, making fun of politicians and transgender folks and all this other silliness, and now people are canceling him. There you go. That's what it costs sometimes to stand up for what you believe in, though.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to compare and contrast today a couple of news stories. And I'm going to be very brief in the overviews of these news stories, okay? In the first news story, which actually happened while we were in Tacoma teaching, a Tacoma, Washington police officer, I'm going to name him Big Dick Munn, okay? Officer Munn is his name, but I'm going to call him Big Dick Munn, okay? So long story short, you can find the video out there if you look up, you know, the Tacoma, Washington, you know, police shooting or whatever. There's this shithead who doesn't bear mentioning because he's a shithead, and he does a bunch of shithead stuff, and he ends up leaving his house with AR-15s, and he's going to shoot at the cops, and he shoots at the cops, and then he kind of ends in this little running gun battle around this neighborhood, and the cops have their guns, and they're shooting back, and everybody's not really hitting anything as per the fucking norm, and but they're trying to barricade him, and there's a couple officers, and they're all, you know, shows their body cams, and they're, shots fired, oh my god, I'm going to die and not go home to my family, and all this kind of shit, right, you know, I didn't sign up for this. And they're fucking running away. And everyone's trying to figure out how to safely kill this guy, right?
Yeah.
Enter Big Dick Munn. All right. When his body cam kicks on, I want a movie about this guy. I don't care if the movie's 5 fucking minutes long. I just want a movie about Big Dick Munn. So he's cruising his car, one hand on the steering wheel, one hand holding that fucking cup of coffee, country music blaring on the radio. All right. He gets the call. He's hauling ass. He's getting there, right? He comes in. He doesn't slide in sideways. He doesn't do any bullshit. He just stops his car, sets his coffee down, all right, puts it in park, climbs out like he's, you know, going to go play at the park with his kids. He's not a big fucking rush, right? Gets out of the car, walks around the back of the car, pops the trunk, pulls out his AR, racks around, checks his aim point, makes sure everything's good to go, braces up off the back of the car, waits, boom, single shot, 183 yards with a red dot, boom, hits the guy, stays on target, doesn't yank the gun off, target, stays on target, waits for radio traffic to clear, and then says, shot fired, suspect down. He says it like he's ordering fucking lunch.
Yeah, he does, like it's no big deal.
Then he gets with the other officers and basically kind of on the fly teaches them how to quickly bound toward the suspect to make sure that he is indeed down. And he's dead as a fucking doornail, basically.
Yeah.
You know, I think he like officially dies on the way to the airport on the way to the hospital. I don't know why I said airport. On the way he was taking a one-way flight the fuck out of this dimension. But he was on the way to the hospital, I think is when he officially died. But he's toast, right? I mean, he's super fucked. Just watch the video. Now, look, I've bemoaned, you know, law enforcement, all their bullshit, plenty on the show. But here's what I am going to say about this. If you're going to do the work, this is how it's fucking done. You need to look at Officer Munn's example of how to be cool under stress. And part of that is probably, I would guess, it's not Officer Munn's first fucking day on the job.
Yeah.
He probably also is very confident in his equipment. He probably knows that he can do this.
And he probably trains regularly.
Probably trains. This is not a dude who does his yearly fucking quals. And yeah. That's it.
Yeah. You can tell that pretty quickly. Just even how calm he is. Even when he gets out of the car and over the radio chatter, there's guys who are definitely panicking.
They're panicking into the radio.
Yeah, they are.
And then he just sets up a nice barricaded position. He's like not even like – he's not talking to them. He's not trying to, you know, gather up with the tards. He's just like, I'm just going to do my own motherfucking thing. He sets up and he fucking props off across the back of his truck. Again, something he's probably practiced.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, single shot. The way he says shot fired, suspect down, I'm just like super clear, super concise on the radio.
And
I'm
not
like,
in a rush.
I'm like, dude, this is it. Like, I've been on the receiving end of radio chatter that's panicked. When things start to go bad and people are on the radio, people start to fucking panic. And then through the fucking chaos, somebody, some fucking badass NCO or whatever, will come across the radio and just chill everybody out.
Yeah.
That, like, when I heard Officer Munn say that, I was like, that's that guy. You know what I mean? That's the dude who just fucking comes across the radio and was like, everybody, stop.
Yeah.
You, where are you at? Two, where are you at? Three, where are you at? You know what I mean? Like, it was just so – it's such a great video. I love watching it. The worst part about the whole video, I have one bitch and complaint about the video. He is using that gay fucking GBARS Hydra mount, a monstrosity, abomination of a fucking mount bullshit. But – whatever. He got the fucking work done, so I'll give him that. Now, the compare and contrast comes with a female officer with the Willoughby Police Department in Ohio. And you can look this one up as well. I'm not even going to tell you what her name is because she ain't worth fucking remembering. She pulls a guy over for speeding. She begins the conversation with him. Hey, you speeding, whatever. Give me your license and shit. He gets out of the car, which is already a fucking no-no in law enforcement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she's like, hey, what are you doing getting out of the car? And he... aggravatedly, I'm getting my license out of the backseat. Already that aggravated tone. Already, mm-hmm. He's already at a fucking 8 and she's at like a 3.
Mm-hmm.
She's not ready for what happens fucking next. He gets the stuff. He walks over. She's trying to control him. You do this, you do that. He's doing nothing she says. Okay, you go sit down. He's like, I'm not sitting down, motherfucker, and all this. And it's like, dude, he is escalating. He's so fucking close to a 10 and she's like doing nothing about it. Then she keeps stepping in close to him. Bet, what the fuck are you doing, lady? Why are you fucking closing contact with someone, especially with the skills that you're about to fucking demonstrate?
Yeah.
He then puts his hand in her face, kind of lightly shoves her. As shoving matching shoes, she keeps calling on the radio, giving dispatch an update. Oh, the male suspect just got out of the car. Now it's getting physical, all this kind of stuff, right? Anyway, they end up in a fucking grappling match, or I should say a high school fucking... barnyard fight. It is absolutely retarded what you see next. Then a passerby stops. He gets out, and this dude is just some fucking country boy who 100% has fucking taken someone down before. He just straight up midsection fucking dumps this guy. Just grabs him by the midsection and boom, fucking straight down to the ground they go, right?
Yeah.
And then a couple other people show up and help, and utilizing four passersby, she gets them all under control.
Did you notice in the video when the other cop shows up and they're walking the suspect, yeah. he's laughing shaking his head.
His ass off. He is fucking right at like the last frame of the video is him just fucking laughing because she's calling you the radio, send more units, send more units. Like she's in the gunfight Big Dick Munn just fucking handled. You know what I mean? Yeah. Send more units. Jesus Christ, lady. So this other cop comes flying up, probably thinking he's about to walk into a fucking gunfight. He jumps out, sees what's happening. Here's four dudes on top of this guy. And this lady still can't get this guy fucking handcuffed.
Yeah. And then he takes his time going over there. He's not in any rush.
Yeah, then he's like, oh, I see what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's like, Officer Dimwit. Here's the thing. If you're in that kind of job, or if you're going to pick those kinds of fights, which is definitely kind of, you know, essentially what this cop was doing, even if it's just by nature of her job, you better have the fucking skills to back up that big fucking talk.
Yeah.
I will go back to Josh was a guest on our show many, many episodes ago. And he's a local LE guy. he's an instructor. He's a SWAT guy. He's all kinds of good shit. And he said a quote that I still fucking use in class. And I'll quote him on it. The reason that most police officers are alive today is because they've never met anyone determined to kill them. And I would say that the reason most Americans are alive today is because they've never met anyone determined to kill them.
Yes.
Your enemy's out there training right fucking now to kill you. And they're ready. And you don't know how far they're willing to go or how fast they're willing to get there. You don't know about their pre-existing skill sets. You know about their understanding of violence. You have no idea what kind of day they had. You have no idea what you're stepping into when you step into a possible confrontation with these people. There are no levels to violence. You are either not being violent or you are being all of the violence. If you think there are levels to violence, you're not ready.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're not. Oh, I think that's it for news. Redwire Gear Moment, brought to you by redwiregear.com. Vacation emergency gear has to be accessible to everyone. Drew and I just took our family and some friends, went down to Rocky Point, Mexico, spent a week in a beautiful beach house down there, literally right on the beach. Beautiful, beautiful time down there. So much fun. Such a great trip. Got to have emergency accessible gear, right? We made sure our med kits were out and available. Everybody knew where they were. We staged them in easily seen places. We're in an Airbnb, right?
Mm-hmm.
People got to know where the stuff is. Doesn't do it any good if it's in my backpack in the bedroom. It doesn't do us any good if it's, oh, it's the red bag in my truck parked in front of the house. Meanwhile, we're 200 yards away at the beach. You got to make sure that whatever emergency gear you take with you on vacations, especially in places where you're less likely to have all of your stuff with you, it's not your home, it's not your car, et cetera. You got to make sure that it's easily accessible to everyone. And everyone knows where it is. Redwire Gear Moment brought to you by redwiregear.com. Quick update on John. He's doing great. He's bored as fuck.
Did he get his care package?
He did.
Oh, good.
He got the care package. Privacy Mike, he thanks you for your hilarious fucking letter. He did enjoy it like I knew he would. He did get his care package. Definitely, wants more stuff. Hats. They need hats. If you have – and I don't mean like one or two. Like if you have a company or you work with a company or something, you can send them some hats. Let me know. They go through hats pretty quickly over there because they're fucking working outside a lot and doing all that kind of shit. They always love, stickers and swag and stuff like that. So if you're with an organization or a company, you can send them some stuff. They'd be happy to have it. Drop us an email and we'll send you his mailing address, info@trainingaz.com. All right. Topic for this week. Staging guns and gear, kind of in line with the Redwire Gear Moment. Staging guns and gear close by and offsite. So the first thing we want to look at is on body, right? On body staging equipment. One, we're talking about reactive use here. Anything that you're going to stage on your body is going to be reactive, meaning you're needing it immediately. You're needing it because an emergency is thrust upon you and probably directly affects you. And so you need quick access. So things that are on your body need to thus be accessible. If you're carrying stuff that's deep in pockets, strapped down by 18 different clips and buckles or whatever, you're not as likely to be able to get to it. Whether it's blades, whether it's guns, whether it's med kits, whether it's your cell phone, whatever it may be that you're trying to use in an emergency, you need to make sure it is immediately accessible. Now, in that world, it also has to be secured to you so that if I lay down, sit down, jump up, roll over, go for a little jog, whatever, the shit also doesn't fly off my body. I don't turn into a tactical yard sale. Or if I'm wrestling with some shithead or even wrestling with my kids on the ground having fun, that stuff doesn't come out either. So I want to make sure it's secured, but also be accessible. And that's like a fine line that you really have to walk. And it's something that you really have to prove gear, and you got to get out there and you got to use it. You also need to really well maintain stuff that's on your body. It's more likely to get rusty. It's more likely to soak up sweat. It's more likely to get, nasty. It's more likely to get worn. It's more likely to get beat up. So these are things that have to be constantly maintained. And we talk about these concepts a lot. So I don't really want to spend too much more time on that. Unless, Drew, you've got something else you think needs to be said about on-body carry.
No, I don't think so.
And remember, we're not just talking about guns here. We're also talking about blades, medical equipment, flashlights, any emergency gear that you might think that you need. So now let's talk about off-body carry. Off-body carry is proactive. You're not reactively going to your truck and getting a rifle. You're not reactively going, getting up out of bed, opening up your safe, getting a 12-gauge. That's not a reactive thing. That's a proactive thing. Yes, you are reacting to some kind of stimulus or some kind of problem, but ultimately it's still a proactive application. So because it's a proactive application, accessibility isn't as big of a deal here other than making it accessible to other people. Like me.
Or not.
Or not, right? So there's an accessibility and security issue here that is going to be present. Like if it's off body and it's whatever, I may not want my med kit to be accessible to everyone. I had someone bring a point up in a med class that you were helping me teach when we were in Washington. And I was saying, yeah, you know, like if you have little kids, where do you want your med kits? And this one guy was like, on the highest shelf. And I'm like, no, man, you don't want your med. What if I'm in the backyard fucking swinging my chainsaw around and I cut myself and now I'm trying to tell the kid to go get my med kit. He's got to go stack three chairs to get it. And he's like, yo, my kids fuck with everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do remember this guy.
And I'll be honest, in all the years that I've been telling people that, no one has ever said that to me, nor – I'll be honest. We're all learning something new every day, right? Mm-hmm. I had never fucking thought about that. As much as I have many children, small children, everything, I've never thought about our kids fucking with shit because they don't fuck with shit.
Yeah. They don't ever just get into stuff.
So I never thought, I don't want my kids to have access to that.
Yeah.
Maybe you keep like a basic first aid kit low, you know? They're like, oh, it's got a bandage, some gauze, and a tourniquet in it. If the kid fucks with it, no big deal, right? And then your major trauma kit might be a little bit higher. But my point being, I don't know how to manage that, but like
– teach your kids not to fuck with your shit?
I never thought about that is my point. So, yeah, teach your kids not to fuck with your shit. I mean, that would also be good as well. But I think that the other point is securing and still being able to keep things accessible. You know, we have long guns that we keep in the bedroom. They've got to be secured. I don't just want long guns laying about.
Yeah.
But they have to be accessible by people that need to be able to access them. You know, Drew needs to be able to access them. Our older kids need to be able to access them. You know, if they're home alone or whatever, they need to be able to have access to those tools. So there's got to be a balance then between accessibility and security. They're also these tools also have to be maintained, but they need to be maintained in a slightly different way. Because you're not going to be putting hands on them all the time, then they don't have to be maintained as often as the stuff that's on your body. But these things are going to need more administrative battery changes because you're going to need to change the lights and an optic. Or they're going to need more, did the package get fucked up in the hemostatic gauze, you know? Or they're going to be able to be maintained more of, yeah, you know, I'm keeping this, you know, off body and you know, it's in the sun a lot and the gloves inside the med kit are going bad or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a knife's not going to sit there and necessarily get less sharp. So that may not be something that you have to maintain all the time if it's off body. You also want to consider whether or not you want this stuff to be hidden and how hidden you want it to be. Because while something is hidden can also add to that security, it also potentially reduces that accessibility. You know, we've got a hidden gun safe in our bedroom that we put like heirloom guns and stuff in.
Yeah.
And yeah, if we had to get to that in a hurry.
It's not very accessible. It's pretty tough because I have all my shit in front of it.
Drew's got a bunch of shit stacked in front of it. And the key is accessible, but not super accessible. I mean,
yeah.
It's probably a 3 to 4 minute process easily to be able to.
All my backpacks and purses and.
Yeah. Like it's going to take a minute to get to that. So it's cool because it's hidden. No one probably – even if you broke in the house and you were looking for shit, I doubt someone would even fucking find it.
No, because you have to like poke your head in the closet and then like turn your whole body to look at it.
Yeah, to even find where it's at is crazy.
Because I have so much shit stacked up against it.
Yeah, because Drew has so much shit stacked up in front of it. So the point is that like that's really hidden.
Yeah.
But it's not accessible. It's secured, but it's not accessible. So you got to balance these things out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, off-body, again, proactively, we're talking about using this. Off-body, I still consider easily accessible. So off-body is going to be in my bedroom. Off-body is going to be, in my bag with me. Off-body is going to be, you know, somewhere in the building that I'm in nearby. It's going to be relatively accessible.
And we're not talking about firearms and bags off body, because if you have a bag and you have a firearm in it, then it stays on body.
Because
then you treat it as a holster, not as a purse or a backpack or whatever.
Because you're
item.
Managing that security and – or secureness and accessibility.
And so when we're talking about having gear staged off body in a bag, we're not meaning firearms.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be medical gear, it could be your blade, could be whatever, your fucking rape whistle, whatever it is that you carry, all right? Now, off-site. Now we start to look at, like, volume of stuff. So let's go back for a second and say, okay, on body, that's going to be your EDC or your everyday carry. That's whatever it is, right? Now, what is on off-body going to be? Well, off-body is more likely to be in the gun world, long guns. In the medical world, larger trauma kits, more filled out, more full trauma kits. In the, blade world, I don't know. It could be a replacement blade, I guess. I don't know. I don't really consider that too much other than – I think really my only off-body blades that I'm carrying are more task-specific blades like, you know, a machete or something made for chopping large objects or my fucking chainsaw. But outside of that, I can't really think of anything that is, you know, that I'm necessarily going to, like, try to resupply blades. Actually, I take that back. I take that back. When we travel, I absolutely keep extra stabby things handy.
Yes.
I keep them in my back. I keep them on body, but I also keep them off body in a bag. Just replacements. Because I expect those types of things to break more often or to be lost or potentially taken away. And so I want to be able to access them more easily.
Speaking of things being taken away, that was pretty funny about getting through the airport security with your short little
Yeah, so I was given a gift years and years and years ago. Is a short little stabber, and I put it in my carry gear, and it kind of got it's a really cool little tool. It's kind of small, and it's in a bag I use a lot. But in this one particular little bag, it kind of fell behind some shit. And I don't see it really. And it's mostly like a utility blade more than like, I mean, you could use anything sharp to stab somebody. It's more of like a fun little utility blade you can kind of carry with you everywhere. And I fucking forgot about it. I'll be honest. I fucking forgot I had it. And I've been flying with that thing for
a year.
Oh, fucking more than that. I've probably been on 20 fucking easy, 30 maybe.
Yeah.
Fucking through security so many fucking times with that thing, probably at least 20 times.
Mm-hmm. And we just found out when we were in Mexico.
Yeah, I was like going through, I'm like, oh, fuck. I forgot I had this thing. It's pretty awesome. I love when you accidentally find how useless TSA is. Yeah. So off-body could just be a resupply. Off-body is a larger tool. So if you guys remember back to the line system, this is like first line, second line kind of. First line is what I have immediate access to. Second line is, you know, what I'm going to add to, or even this could even maybe be third line. Offsite. Offsite staging of equipment is probably something I think most people consider. And this is for a lot of people, it's like, I'm going to go bury a gun in the woods or on the back nine of my property. You know, I'm going to get one of those storage containers, not a Connex, but like, you know, the little underground storage tubes or whatever that are watertight, whatnot. And I'm going to fucking put an SKS and a 500 rounds in there, and I'm going to seal it up tight, and I'm going to throw it into the ground. In fact, this tube over here, we've got a howitzer round freaking tube in here. That is fucking watertight, airtight, right? So it's like you can take that, bury that shit. It's going to stay good for a very, very long time, especially if you treat what's in there properly, or wrap it, cosmoline, all that kind of shit. And yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about with offsite is spreading your stuff around. Now, first, why would you maybe want to spread your stuff around? And I'm going to call this the fourth line. So this is resupply from our previous line system show. This is fourth line. Spread it around. If I am – we have a friend – that we go stay at his house sometimes up north in northern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I have staged stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
I have equipment and tools and ammo and med supplies and all kinds of stuff that I have staged there specifically so that I have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has access to it too, which is the other part of staging your equipment everywhere. Is yeah, you want to have access to it, but whoever you're staging it with, they need to have access to it too. Because what you're essentially doing is helping other people be prepared, and they'll do the same. Well, hey, if I'm going to keep some of this for you, can you keep some of my comms equipment? Or can you keep some of this that I know about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I'll keep some of your comms gear. I'll keep some of your extra batteries. You know, by spreading stuff around, it's like the way we look at it, especially with our tribe, is I want everybody to have a med kit, for example. This is the true IFAT concept. If everybody has a med kit, you're not just making sure that everyone has a med kit. You are spreading your fucking medical supplies around. When you look at why that concept really came to light, like one of the driving factors about that, of course, was Operation Gothic Serpent, the Black Hawk Down story. And one of the problems that they were having was they were having guys dying because they were literally just running out of shit. Mm-hmm. They were running out of fucking supplies. I mean, 120 guys on the ground that day and 119 of them were injured. I'm like, they were running out of shit. Well, medics can only carry so much shit. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get resupplied. So they're just running out of supplies. Then this genius idea. Well, what if everybody carried a little bit? What if everyone had their own kit and they knew how to use it? They didn't know how to use it as good as the medic, but they still know how to fucking use it a little. Now what we've done is we've spread supplies around. So it's like if we go on a hike and our kids have their own med kits, Drew has her own med kit, I have my own med kit, the dog has his own med kit. Well, it's unlikely that all of us are going to need our own med kit. But now if something happens and I need more supplies than what I have, everybody has their own fucking shit. Mm-hmm. And so I can go, hey, you, give me your kit. Or hey, I'm using your kit on you. Oh, now I can resupply to mine. I can resupply to Drew's. I can resupply to the fucking... Oops. I can resupply to the fucking dogs if that's what's needed, you know? So it doesn't really fucking matter. It's important to be able to spread stuff around from that perspective, just making sure you have access to stuff. It's also important to spread things around in all the places that you regularly go. So here's some examples, like your office. Now, for some of you, that's a no-go, all right? You may not be able to effectively keep things in your office, but if you could consider your office manager to buy some better med kits, you just successfully staged equipment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now you have access to shit that you can use. If you have a private office, if you have some private space, you could stage 500 rounds of ammunition, 200 rounds of ammunition in your fucking desk drawer.
Or if you have second homes or vacation homes.
If I have second homes, if I have cabins in the woods. If I have family that are scattered nearby me, friends, my vehicle or multiple vehicles, literally everywhere that you can, stage stuff. Mm-hmm. Stage stuff everywhere that you can, even if it's just a little bit. It's a little bit of ammo. It's a little bit of med supplies. It's a radio. It's extra CR123 batteries, a couple extra flashlights. Put it all in a fucking backpack. And just spread it around. I mean, that's something I've been considering doing lately is literally just buying like a bunch of basic backpacks, filling them all full of the exact same shit, and then going, will you keep this at your house for me? Mm-hmm. If it ever becomes a burden, just let me know and I'll get it.
Yeah.
But can you just keep – and if you need anything out of here, please use it and then just tell me and I'll replace it. That way, a little bit of everything that I need is staged everywhere that I go. This is not a new concept. I'm just telling you guys about shit we've been doing in everyday life for hundreds and hundreds of years. The military's been doing this. It's been teaching this. The Old West cowboys did this shit, right? They staged shit around, you know, to where they needed to go. Stage stuff around. If you're staging it with other people, make sure it's usable and accessible to them. It does need to be checked and maintained regularly. So you're going to have to check those batteries. You're going to have to check that radio. You're going to have to check those med supplies. You're going to – whatever it is that you stage, you're going to have to check that shit out. You know, I make sure all my people have guns. One, then they don't have to fucking come to me for it. And two, because then if I need more guns, I know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get more to that later. But if you're going offsite, you do, depending on what you're storing – have to consider accessibility and security. Is this stuff going to be accessible to you in an emergency? And is it going to be secured enough that this person that you're potentially staging it with or this location, if it's compromised in some way, it's not going to get lost. It's not going to get stolen. It's not going to get washed away in a fucking flood in Florida or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, is this stuff going to be secured? And is it still going to be accessible enough to the people who are going to use it? Like, if you're going to spread guns around, you know, with your people, you got to make sure they're going to store them and secure them properly, not just so that something bad doesn't happen for them, so that when you go to get those tools, you know they're going to be available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I want to talk about is what I've always referred to, and I heard this saying many, many years ago, and I'm going to repeat it here, which is the 10 rounds in a dead man's rucksack concept. I need 10 rounds. With 10 rounds, I can create a dead man's rucksack. Scavenging. Know where your resupply points are. Literally, make a map. Recon and intel go a long way here, and that is just kind of knowing where everything is. Know where all your gun stores are. Know where all your sporting goods stores are. Know where all of your food is. I'm not just talking about grocery stores. If you guys think I'm hitting grocery stores in the panic, you're fucking wrong, dude. I'm going to distribution centers, baby. I'm rolling out of here with two fucking pickup trucks full of shit, not a couple handfuls of shit. And distribution centers, by the way, usually remote, almost never guarded, multiple fucking access points, multiple fucking ingress and egress. And what are they stocked with? Stacked with crates and crates and crates of supplies, pallets of the shit, with a fucking pallet jack to load it right into your truck.
And this is where I live now.
Yeah. So it's like distribution centers, man. I'm a lot more interested in that. So can start making maps of this kind of shit.
Yeah.
All the, you know, the little mom and pop places that you can go resupply at. Canals, water systems, drainage ditches for water. Where are the places you can go to get more supplies? If I need to scavenge, if you go where everybody else knows to go, guess what? You're going to be with fucking everybody else.
Yeah.
So I've got to start considering. Well, I really fumbled that one. I have got to start considering truly making a map. Don't just think, oh, I'll remember that in an emergency. I'll remember that in an emergency. No. Make a map. Then drive there. Bike there. Walk there. What if you had to walk to that distribution center? Oh, yeah, it's no big deal to drive 10 miles. When's the last time you walked 10 miles? And then got a bunch of shit and walked back.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the routes. Look at primary routes, alternate routes, contingency routes. Consider all of those aspects. Start looking at scavengers. Don't forget about the loudmouths in your lives too. Unfortunately for people like me, like everybody knows what we do pretty much for a living, not necessarily my neighbors and all that, but you know, other people do. And my saying with that is, if you're not in the circle before it begins, you're not in the circle after it happens.
Yeah.
So, sorry. Got a 100-yard free fire zone around the house. If you're not in the circle before it begins, don't come within 100 yards of my fucking house. But scavenging, something to think about. I'm not talking about being a dickhead and marauding and hurting other people for their shit. What I am talking about is making sure that your people are taken care of first. All right? So big deal, I have dreams about being a warlord. So what? So what, me and the boys make plans? I mean, we don't make plans. I mean, me and the boys have definitely not separated 15 plus miles of square territory around here into districts. We have not done that. Independence training moment for this week. What did Glenn and Drew do this past week to better prepare any of the four zones for an emergency? Actually, it has to do with our Mexico trip. And that was talking safety and awareness in a foreign country with all of our people,
mm-hmm.
not just our kids, but our friends that went and our other family that went with us as well. You got to talk about it. It was a very fun experience, you know, to take kids out of the country and show them like.
That was my first time in Mexico.
Yeah, Drew's first time to go down there.
It was definitely an eye-opening experience driving down there.
Drew was so fucking nervous going across the border. She's in a different car than me because we had so many people and dogs and equipment and everything. So we took two vehicles, and man, I could feel I was in the car in front of her. And I go through first, like, see, it's easy. They don't do anything. And I go across the board. I could just feel, I could sense her anxiety behind me.
And we got separated. I'm like, oh my God, this is where I die.
Yeah, and then we're not even separated. We were separated by 200 yards, maybe. And she's like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what to do. It's not a war zone.
And then I didn't know that my cellular roaming data wasn't turned on, so my phone was dead.
And her phone's not working. It's not working. I'm like, you gotta turn your shit on, man.
It was a hot mess.
But in the end, we all survived.
I made it.
The good thing was is that in talking with our people, it just raises their awareness of things. Like, yeah, there's less rules and less laws here than we're used to. But check this out. With that lesser rules comes a higher expectation of how you act.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I've always found in life. And actually, I had this great conversation with one of our sons driving back today, or the other day, I mean. And that was with the reduction in rules comes a higher level of expectations and responsibilities.
Yeah.
People just kind of expect you to react or act a certain way. And if you don't, the consequences are way more harsh.
Yeah.
But there's less rules. Because he was like, oh, it's so cool. There were like no rules. And Mexico, we just go wherever we want, kind of do whatever we want. It's awesome. And it's like.
Yeah, but nobody wants to go to Mexican prison.
but nobody, don't do things that attract attention to yourself. Like there's these unwritten rules that we already knew. No one had to tell us, don't be a dick. Mm-hmm. No one had to tell us, don't hurt other people. No one had to tell us, don't break other people's stuff. Yeah. No one had to tell us, don't be a menace. Don't be, you know, loud and crazy and noisy and ridiculous at night. Don't attract attention to yourself. No one had to tell us that.
Yeah.
We just know that that's kind of the rules of the game. And if you do any of those things and you attract attention, well, then you get what you fucking deserve. So it was interesting to talk with all the kids about things like that, the other hazards. And don't think you got to go to a foreign country to talk to your people either. Just changing cities, man,
mm-hmm.
from your city to this next city over could be an entirely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you talk to your people. Independence Training Moment brought to you by IndependenceTraining.com or easier, TrainingAZ.com. Remember, you can bring us out to train with you. Get hosting information via email info@TrainingAZ.com. Remember, follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, Red Wire Gear, MRC Phoenix, and PMA or Precision Martial Arts Scottsdale. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Be sure to check out all the wonderful services and excellent shows that the Heroes Media Group has. And please, if you're listening to our show and you've never looked up Heroes Media Group, please do. It's our network, man. They've supported us since we were a little baby podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about selecting optics for shooting and observation. Been a little while since we talked optics, so we're going to talk about it because there's some cool new shit out there. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.